In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. There's a story I shared with you a number of years ago, and I'd like to share it again this morning. It's a legend that comes from the Andes Mountains in South America. Two warring tribes, one in the lowlands, one up in the mountains. And the queen of the lowland tribes had given birth to a son, the new heir that would someday take over the throne of the lowland tribe. And so spies from the mountain tribe came down by night and captured the heir and brought him back to their village and then made ransom demands on the life of that son, on the life of that heir. And so, of course, the lowland tribes gathered together warriors and made attempts over and over to recover and rescue the child. They lost men. They were beaten. They were wounded. They were frostbitten. They were overcome. Weeks went by. And finally, down to the last few warriors, they were beginning one last assault on the mountain tribe. And as they are beginning this assault, they see a woman coming down the mountain carrying a baby. And they realize it's the queen carrying her rescued son. And so they ask, they say, with all our weapons, with our spies, with our supplies, and how many attempts, we fail over and over, and here you come alone, successfully rescuing your son. And the woman looked at them, and he said, well, he wasn't your son. The meaning of that legend is that the warriors may have had a sense of duty, may have had a sense of mission, but no more. The woman had motive that ran to the core of her being, that ran to the core of her soul. She had a love, a desperation, a drive to succeed at all costs, because recovering her son was her deepest and her greatest and her only desire at that point. And a desire and a love that strong succeeds. Today in the gospel, we encounter the desire of a paralyzed man and four friends to see Jesus Christ. But when they arrive at the house, there's such a crowd they can't get near. There's lots of people in the crowd with lots of different motives for being there. Some might have just wondered what was going on. Some may have really wanted to see Jesus. Some may have just wanted to look good in front of their neighbors. All kinds of reasons to be there. Many of them end up just accepting being on the outside because their motive wasn't strong enough to push them further. But these five, this paralyzed man and his four friends carrying them, their desire to see the Savior ran very deep, ran so deeply that they were not going to fail. They're not going to be stuck on the outside. They climb onto the roof. They make a hole in somebody else's roof. And then they lower this stretcher down into the middle of this crowd. It must have been quite the spectacle. There was a social risk, probably a financial risk, maybe even a physical risk to destroy somebody's house. But Jesus, looking up, it says in the gospel, when Jesus saw their faith, he says to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you, the greatest gift that God can give. It was the faith of all of them. It says when he saw their faith. Faith is both individual and collective. And it came through a desire to see Jesus Christ, a desire that was true, strong, to fail. And I think if Lent is about anything, it's cultivating our desire for God to a place where it is so strong that we refuse to fail. You know, as we go about life, tell me if this isn't true. It is so easy for God to get buried somewhere off to the side. It is so easy for us to get distracted by other things. And Lent is given to us as a time to cultivate the desire for God to be the deepest thing once again in our hearts. You know, all the spiritual disciplines that we have in Lent, whether it's the fasting, whether it's the extra services, confession, charitable deeds, Bible reading, all these things, you know, these aren't ends in themselves, but hopefully lead us to a deeper communion with God and a deeper love for our neighbor, which is our true goal. And those aren't two goals, by the way. The love of God and the love of neighbor is a single goal. In that opening legend from the Andes, the warrior saw a duty. Their motive had to rescue the heir, had to be a mission for the sake of the tribe. But to the mom, The motive was, this is my son, my heart's deepest desire. And the point of Lent is for the Son of God to be our heart's deepest desire, not just some duty or 40-day mission. How many of us can truly say that our desire for God is as deep as this mom's for her kidnapped son? How many can say our desire for God is as deep as the paralytic and the four friends who carry him? I'd like to close with a story about St. Herman of Alaska. He was once on an anchored ship having dinner with some Russian traders. And he asked them what they wanted most, what they would love most in the world. One said, oh, a sleek ship of my own. Another said, riches and power. Another said, a big handsome house and hunting land where I can take whatever I want. And still another, a beautiful wife and strong sons. So then Herman waited for them to each answer and he said, well, what about the love of God? You know, I said, well, of course, the love of God. That goes without saying. Obviously, we meant the love of God first. And he said, if you love something most, that's the first thing you think about when you wake up in the morning. It's the last thing you think about when you go to bed at night. The object of your love occupies your heart throughout the day, and you arrange your life and your work around that love. And then he says to them, would that describe the place of God in your life? And they all admit, no, it does not. And then St. Herman said to them, well, let's make a pact. From this day forward, from this hour, from this minute, let us love God above all. And therefore, if you and I accomplish one thing this Lent, let us cultivate a desire for and a love of God that runs deeper than anything else. Amen.